This is CliffCentral.com.
Appointed my buddy the chief air conditioning control person because she sits right under the air conditioning thing and yeah. it seems to like hit the back of her head and her neck first, so it always comes streaming down and smashes against her and then kind of bounces into the rest of us afterwards. And then, you know, it's no wonder that if anyone's going to get sick around here, it should be you first because of that stupid air conditioning on the back of your neck.
Would explain a lot of things.
It would. Now you have the controls.
But you also know how war breaks out in offices because black and white people have different
air conditioning preferences.
It's
a big thing here.
Huge thing.
It's a big thing.
But some countries went to war in the early 1900s.
Yeah. I believe so.
At least here, there's honesty about it, so people can just deal with it. You know, I've heard many arguments in the office there. But then people talk about it. It must be so horrible to work in an office where you actually can't open your mouth and say, you know what? It's a little bit freezing.
I've got a nipple stand right now.
Yeah. Or it's boiling hot. Can we please turn on the aircon? I mean, imagine being in an oppressive environment where you actually can't even say what you really feel and how you think and how comfortable you are. It must be awful.
Mm. Yeah, that's when you go home and drink a lot.
Yes, Ben, because that's the solution.
Yeah. Well, I don't like alcohol, just that I can't speak at work.
I think a lot of people go home and drink a lot.
Yeah.
Remember in the 80s and 90s, they used to have all those TV shows, like soap operas in particular. They'd have everybody would always go home and they'd go straight to the liquor cabinet in these shows. Yeah. You remember?
Well, in Mad Men, you didn't go home to the liquor cabinet. You went to work to the liquor cabinet.
Yeah, well, you had an actual bar at the office and people would drink at the office. And I remember in shows when I was growing up, any time you saw a successful rich person in a show, they would always have these crystal whiskey glasses.
Yeah.
They would get home to the whiskey cabinet and they would pour themselves. They wouldn't even put ice in. They'd just go straight for the bottle.
Straight up and then
say. And that was what they would do. They'd get home, the wife would be, "Oh, hey, honey, how was your day at work?" And then he'd be like, "God, just hold on a second." And as soon as he walked through the door, he'd be pouring a whiskey.
And then they would say disparaging things about women and other ethnic races.
Yeah, because when the man got home, he would have his whiskey.
Just take the edge off.
Waiting for him because, you know, the wife had to be waiting by the door.
She'd have an apron on and
with
stuff.
Whiskey on tray. And then the women would usually have a sherry or something. But they were all drinking.
Oh, the woman would also drink.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, it came from the royal family. They've been drinking. They've been getting legless since they managed to wrestle power away from somebody.
Yeah.
It's so weird, though, because I don't have I don't have that habit in my life. I almost think it's civilized in some way, maybe because I was conditioned to think that way growing up, that's what people do when they get home from the office. But it has never ever been something that I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's because you haven't chosen to be grumpy in life, which means you've actually missed the plot completely.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Gareth, you're in the wrong here. You must be miserable.
Yeah.
So you have to have heart attack every single day.
That's right.
You failed your ancestors.
In my house, drinking only happened on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like my parents, that's when they would crack open the bottle.
Why Sunday? I mean, Monday is just around the corner.
I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, they were like thinking, fuck, Monday's coming. Have a drink.
Oh, they was like, okay, well, Jesus will only allow me to drink now.
Yeah. Friday, that could be. It could be a Jesus thing.
Friday was made for drinking. I mean, it's just the best drinking day. Like, you can really lose the plot. You really can. And you got Saturday and Sunday to kind of get yourself back towards yourself.
Look, my dad, yes, he would go out on a Friday and a Saturday with the boys. So, you know, you knew what was happening there. But then on Sunday, that's when he would, like, have a moment with his wife.
Oh.
And so he cracks open a bottle and the two of them share it and they have a long conversation.
Now, you see, that's kind of old school civilized. That's how they used to.
Long conversation. Who has those?
Nobody does that anymore.
There's this really great part in that new Chris Rock feature on Netflix.
Oh.
Where he's just like, you know, of course we're never going to talk to each other anymore. Because back in the day, a man went to work at like 6 in the morning and he got home at 8 at night. And for the entire time, he did not talk to anyone at home. Didn't talk to the kids, didn't talk to the wife. Yeah. He was at work.
Yeah.
So when he got home, there was stuff to talk about. Now, you can't go a day without Instagram, Facebook, something or other, WhatsApp. And if you haven't given your wife or girlfriend 5 likes by that stage, you know, you're just being
you must
a dick.
Have been a, yeah.
You
must
so, have been so disconnected. So you get home and you got nothing to say. And then she like, well, why you don't talk to me no more?
Well, I noticed even on this this holiday I was just on, you're in constant contact. I mean, we had Wi-Fi in the hotel. So even though I wasn't using data on the slopes while I was skiing, I'd get back to the hotel and my phone would go beep, 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 beep. All these messages that had been coming in all day. And then I would check in with the family. I'd check in with a couple of other people. If there were work things that I needed to pay attention to, I'd do that. I checked email. Now, normally, you wouldn't look at that stuff. I mean, we're talking even 5 or 6 years ago, you wouldn't have paid any attention. You were on holiday. So yeah. You would go on holiday. You wouldn't check anything.
You're as good as dead to people.
Right. And you'd come back and they'd go, how was it? Because they didn't know. Now everybody knows. They don't need to ask how was your holiday because they could just go check your Instagram.
They've already seen the picture on Facebook. They've already judged you or hated you or commented on what's going on. So basically, you've never been away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched some Olympics yesterday, Ben.
Endlessly good, huh?
So good. And there's so much curling. Why is there so much curling?
Because curling isn't a short sport. Like, it takes a while. You watch highlights of curling. The whole thing's a big commitment. But of course, you've got the mixed doubles, you've got the women's, you've got the men's. Yeah, there's a lot of curling. It's like it's always on.
Hasn't this most recent doping scandal also put curling on the map?
Well, we'll get to that in the sport, but yeah, it's not a happy time for the curlers.
No.
Performance-enhancing drugs rocks the curling world.
Unbelievable.
Wouldn't that be great? I'd just love to see these people like on rocket fuel. Forget these things that just increase your blood flow, like the one that you told us about yesterday, that Sharapova
drug.
Yeah, I want these drugs to suddenly turn people into super fast superhumans. They must take like a pill, and then suddenly they are sweating profusely. They're shaking like a leaf, but they can lift 1,000 kilograms. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, it would be until their joints have to come into it, then they would lose a shoulder.
But that's the price you pay for getting the gold.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the press conference afterwards because you can't feel any pain. So you've got one arm, the other arm's still on the stage.
Yeah.
And you're just frothing at the mouth saying, this is my dream. It's my dream.
That would be great.
That would be good TV.
I mean, clearly it's not nice for those people, but yeah.
No, I mean, I think the family would be a bit perturbed by, you know, the son or daughter going out and experiencing that.
You know, it would be nice if one of these days, Ben, you could do a breakdown of how the curling game works. Is it a game? Is it a match? I don't even know what to call it.
Tell you very quickly. It's lawn bowls. You've got a jack.
On ice, yeah.
It's basically lawn bowls on ice. You've got a jack, whereas in curling, you've got this, like, bullseye target.
Yes.
And what you got to do is you I don't know the names of the people because they all obviously have their own names, but you got a brush person and a stone tosser person.
Oh, they've got positions.
So you slide out with the stone.
But you got to go slowly or fast?
Oh, you go slowly, but the thing is the stone's still in your hand on the sort of saucepan handle thing. And how you let it go, because as you're sliding, you're in motion. How you let it go dictates how fast it comes from your release. So you can hold it back or you can give it a little push. You've got to gauge where this thing's going to go to get into the area.
And you want it in the middle of that bullseye.
You want it in the middle of the bullseye if that's what your target is. And the other people, and what you do then is you've got to shriek at people. You can't say anything or shout. You've got to shriek in the most horrible and screechy of manners. Like that.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you can get heard in curling if you have a horrible voice.
Right.
And the brush people have then got to brush the ice in order to curve it or slow it down or make it quicker in order to get to that point. And the person who tosses the stone has the gut feeling of where it's going to end, hence the instructions come out. But then if someone's already got the stone where you want to be, then you must also then be able to throw it, like knock it off. So
That makes sense.
You get 3 stones.
So I don't understand. Like what if you release the stone perfectly and then those stupid brush people have nothing to do?
Well, then you just keep shouting. Stop.
Get out of the way.
No, no, brush, left. It's all about shouts and Gareth. You can shout anything to them, brush or not brush.
They seem like the most unnecessary people in sport.
Not at all. Not at all.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, what you could do is have unassisted curling then. A whole new curling game where it's just the stone.
How many on the floor at any given time as a team, how many of you are allowed there?
Well, in the conventional team curling, you get two brush people and one stone roller, tosser, slider.
So it's a threesome.
And then in the mixed doubles, obviously there's just the person. Normally the woman throws the stone because she shouts the best historically. And then the guy brushes.
Okay.
Fuck you!
Exactly.
Every day.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. I do like those, the luge. That is terrifying.
Every morning I go onto YouTube and I find more Winter Olympics to watch from previous years. I watched this woman was in the skeleton yesterday. Someone left a broom on the actual track.
Oh.
That's pretty funny.
Did they smash into it at great speed and hurt themselves badly?
Well, it was quite unsettling. You don't expect like an industrial-sized broom to be on the track. But there are so many incredible events. And I often get messages at night like, are you watching this? Are you watching that? But I'm already in bed and it really upsets me.
Someone says here, good morning, guys. Because of all the curling at the Olympics, I was doing some reading yesterday. I came across an interesting article. Turns out scientists have not figured out yet why the curling stone curls the way it does. The sport is from the 16th century, and the physics is still a mystery in some way. Just some useless info I thought you'd find fascinating.
Well, it curls because you brush it, and as you brush it, you smooth the ice, and then it takes a smoother ice and goes deviates.
And doesn't it also liquefy? I mean, like, you know, it's ice, so it turns to water, and obviously you can, if there's a thin film of water, it'll slide along a lot better.
I mean, it's not
less friction.
It's not curling like a bowling ball.
Yeah, there's
it's very subtle.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about, what was it, energy the other day, Ben, when you were explaining what happens when that stone slides on the ice and then the quick brushing, like all kinds of...
Can we just talk about our guy in the skiing that just went straight off the edge and smashed into the snow on the side, and that was the end of him?
Whoa.
Well, that's what experienced gets you, Gareth.
Is he okay?
It's his first time. No, he's
just
young.
He was just terrible. He was
such
a, you know...
I thought you meant like he had a...
Did you have money on him?
No, I just thought it was just so sad. I saw the visuals for the first time yesterday. Someone showed me, and he kind of starts and just bows out really early.
When you watch the skiers, just imagine that it's actually 10 times faster in real life. So when you see these guys going left to right and going down, I mean, you would know, guys, you've just been on the slopes.
Yeah.
If you don't concentrate for half a second, you're on the side of the mountain, possibly dead. That is how hectic the sport is.
And don't forget, like, it always looks way less steep when you're not doing it yourself, because you have to lean forward. You have to lean out into that slope. You have to be willing to, like, roll down there. And trust me, some of these things are so steep that you will slide for 500 meters before you grind to a halt.
There's no real handbrake on ice.
No.
There's no real brakes on ice.
You keep going, sliding.
At best, you can try to scrub off a little bit of speed by just changing direction. Otherwise, you are going fast.
But
it's the fast Olympics, basically. This entire Olympics is about speed.
Realistically speaking, if you are born on the continent, where are you training?
No.
If you want to participate in a sport like skiing, where?
Europe.
So you have to...
Yeah,
you have to have
so,
money.
So, you know, there was that whole story about, you know, the guy gets the train at Tiffindel or whatever it's called.
There's no snow there most of the time.
There is, but there's a hill like the size of, I don't know, the drop's like maybe 100 meters.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
So you're never going to get the speed. You never have to turn at speed like you will on those big slopes there. So all you're doing is you're learning how to ski.
You're like doing grade one over
and
over.
You need to spend winters in France scrubbing dishes, sleeping in cars, getting frostbite.
And then you're going to be competing with people who have been skiing essentially since they were pushed out of their mothers.
Right.
Yes, basically.
4-year-olds. Yeah. Like, I made a video of these kids who were skiing, and they're fast, man. And they're little. And they have such confidence.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just found it fascinating. I do. I love these Winter Olympics. And I'm glad that Ben tipped us off to it right at the start. Someone says the Ewings in Dallas were big whiskey drinkers.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
That was big. J.R. Ewing would get home from the oil fields, and he'd have about 3 whiskeys.
I'm pretty sure they had those glasses and the bottles and the trays set up in every room of the UN mansion.
Oh, you have to, for sure.
Every room. Even when he went to bed in his pajamas sometimes, he would go to the bed with whiskey in hand.
He would.
Can you imagine being an estate agent in those times? You walk into a room like, oh, where is the whiskey?
You gotta
go buy seven decanters to show a house off. You gotta buy like a vat of whiskey.
Yeah, one for every room.
I would like to know what it is that they're actually drinking on set, though. Is it like an iced tea mix?
Yeah, they probably just use tea.
It's called tea. I know this because in Standard One, I played the barman in a Western play.
At school?
Well, it was a school play. And I had a big whiskey decanter and it was full of tea. And I was pouring. Yeah, look, I took the role very seriously.
Well.
Did you have to mix the tea yourself?
Well, I just brought cold tea. Just
okay, but you could have you could have spiked the stuff and no one would have known, Ben.
True, Gareth, true. It wasn't quite the thought process back then, but yes, you're right.
No, not at grade one.
Imagine Ben. Imagine Ben poisoning the whole cast.
Yeah.
Getting more drunk.
It would have taken about two shots to get the whole cast drunk.
Man. Oh, so there's quite a lot to talk about. Has anybody heard what the former president's up to? Has he moved out yet? Cleared the way for Cyril? What is he doing? Where is he? I want to know what he's up to.
Should we put a bit of an office pool on when he's going to leave? Because I reckon he'll make this drawn out and he'll leave the place in a mess.
Well, think about how he resigned.
And he'll steal like the most basic things like cups and saucers and stuff.
He resigned at the last minute. I mean, he called that press conference, then made us wait half an hour, 45 minutes, and then eventually jumped off. This guy's not going to get out soon. He loves this. He doesn't want to go. I think he's actually really pissed off.
Well, what if Duduzani's like in hiding at this place? Because they probably think like, well, they can't search for him here, so let's just...
Well, they have 30 days to come up with a plan B for him then. Isn't that what Justice said yesterday? He has 30 days to move out.
He's out of the country, Duduzani. He's not there.
Yeah, he's in the Burj Khalifa right now.
For sure. And those Guptas are also, they're running scared. They're not going to be walking around the streets of Sachsenwald. I mean, they were pretty much, do you remember how brazen they were before?
Mm.
They'd be doing their normal thing. They knew the whole country hated them, but they didn't, they were protected, you know. Now, they don't have any of that.
Well, all the people who've been putting two and two together have come up with some new information, which we'll talk about after seven.
All right.
About how the Guptas have shown first signs of fighting back. And Dubai apparently seems to be where it's all going down.
Ooh, they're fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
If I were them, I'd just cut my losses. I mean, they made a lot of money and got the hell out of here.
Look, the information that surfaced clearly indicates that, you know, they've been talking to their legal team and their legal team have a strategy in place for them, so they're not going to just...
But if you're the legal of the Guptas, the Zumas, whatever, and you eventually get to a point where you've lost so many cases, you should be charged as well for just having bad judgment. Just piss poor judgment, because you're essentially obstructing justice. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be their legal representative. I don't care what you're paying me. You just know that that's going to lead to misery. Oh, let me quickly tell you. Do you know what the difference is between medical aid and medical insurance? That sounds like a ridiculous question.
No.
With medical aid, I think you get certain benefits that you wouldn't get with just an insurance.
Yeah, medical aid will also pay for your
hospital stay
and for your medicine.
Yes.
You know, because that stuff is where it gets expensive a lot of the time.
Okay, and medical insurance, is that like what J-Lo did for her legs?
Yeah, you can get medical insurance. In other words, like if you have an injury and you need to go to hospital, or you develop some kind of disease and you're insured against that particular kind of disease, then it covers your costs. But we will find out precisely what that is, because many people don't know the difference, so don't beat yourself up. And we'll find out which option is best for you, because one plan, you remember we spoke to them about pet insurance just a short while ago?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're talking about human health insurance now.
Yeah.
And they've turned health cover on their heads. We've been chatting to one plan about pet insurance, and now you can find out about your health, your family's health. So Michael Otten will be in. He's the CEO of One Plan. He'll be telling us all about these important issues, how you decide which is the best option for you. I don't know about you. I've been on a hospital plan. I don't need medical aid because I didn't use a lot of medicine. But if I had, like, you've got the asthma, Mubs, so you need to have some kind of cover that includes anything that develops as a result of that asthma, right? Mm. But I don't have like a regular pill subscription or anything. And for some people, that's what they have. You know, they have to make sure that they can pay for that stuff. So we'll find out from him which is the best for each of us. And in the meantime, you could learn more about how the unique one card works. Just SMS the word health, H-E-A-L-T-H, to 31644. You know these SMSs cost just about nothing. And you can find out from them. They'll call you back and explain to you how your healthcare can be put together better. SMS health, H-E-A-L-T-H, to 31644. All right? Try that out and see if it works for you. So Mike will be here later on and we'll talk to him. Apparently there was some woman talking about health who left a rude note on a parked ambulance and she was actually arrested.
Why did she... Was she upset with how the ambulance was parked? I don't understand.
Well, yeah, it sounds like the ambulance parked across like three parkings and maybe it wasn't even an emergency and she was annoyed because she couldn't find a parking. So she wrote this note and stuck it to the ambulance. Anyway, they tracked her down and they had her arrested.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is where, you know, I'm all for when there's an ambulance on the roads, I get out of the way. That's what you're meant to do.
That's what we're meant to do.
Right. And when I go to a shopping mall or whatever and there's a parking for ambulances or for disabled people, I don't take them.
Yeah.
That's what good people do. But when... this woman must have been annoyed. She must have been pissed off. We all get like that sometimes. But to arrest her? Seems kind of like she didn't cause... the ambulance not to be able to carry out its duty. She wrote a rude note, that's all.
Mm.
I mean, you know, phone her up and say, hey, listen, lady, calm down. We're doing important work here. You just went shopping. You know? They have a fight with her, but don't have her arrested. It sounds crazy.
Where did this happen? Here at home?
Ian sent me the message. No, it was in the UK.
Oh, okay. Because I was just going to say, like, that doesn't sound like something that would happen
here. We'd just have a fight and then we'd move on. I mean, really, it's that's the kind of thing that people move to Australia for. People love when other people get put right.
Mm.
They love seeing that. And that's those people, for some reason, I'm not like that. I don't know what happened. Maybe when I was a kid, I didn't really respond well to authority. I don't know. But I do not have... You know those people who correct other people's driving even when it doesn't affect them?
Oh.
I don't have that gene. I don't have that... And those people who will say, ah, what are you doing over there? Loitering or something. You know, loitering, it just seems like the silliest reason to get into an argument with someone. Someone's walking down the street. That's what loitering is.
Yeah.
They're going somewhere, maybe. Maybe they stop and talk to someone else. There's always some person who'll pull over and they'll go, what are you doing here? You know those people?
They're annoying.
Oh.
I've always thought that those people, their stress levels must be so much higher than the rest of ours because
Everybody pisses them off.
Every 5 minutes you're looking for a reason to get yourself worked up when you could just, I don't know, observe the situation and keep it moving.
Yeah, they attach themselves to negativity to give themselves purpose.
That can't be healthy.
And it's not.
Yeah.
And they must get so frustrated with life because so many other people are not going to do what they want the whole time. I want you to behave a certain way. Yeah, hang on, whoever you are. You don't have any authority in my life. You broke the rules. Or if someone doesn't come to a complete stop at a stop street. Like, let me give you an example. The other day, the reason I'm thinking about this isn't because of that ambulance story, that's a whole different thing. The other day, this woman went into the back of my car. Now, it wasn't bad. There was no damage to my car. The front of her car was a little bit, because that's how they design cars. They crumple in the front, right? Anyway, she wasn't paying attention. So we're at the robots, and it's green for, let me just think now. It's green for the straight traffic, but she's behind me, we're both turning right.
Oh, so you've got to wait.
Okay, right. So we're waiting for the cars that are coming on straight. And she goes, boom, into the back of me. Hmm. So I gesture to her and I say, let's just pull over here. Mm. We'll turn right. We were both going to turn right anyway. It's a quieter road. We'll pull over to the side, swap details in case there's any damage. Then, you know, her insurance. Because when you drive into the back of someone, It's your fault.
Yeah.
So anyway, luckily my car's not damaged, but I only saw that afterwards. I didn't know at this point it could have been damaged. So now it's still green for the traffic that's coming straight. And there's a car and he's at a safe distance still. So I indicate, well, I'm indicating anyway, and I go across. This guy comes along. He's got loads of room. I've turned already, and he's still coming straight. And he's like, ba, 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 and he's flashing his lights. Now, I've just had someone drive into the back of me, and I want to get safely across the road so that I can stop there, and she can swap details with me. So anyway, she makes it after this guy, who's clearly in a huge hurry somewhere, and it's very important. And she comes to a halt behind me, and then I get out and I go over to her, and she's this, I don't know, 20-something student, and she's got blue hair and she's crying. She can't speak English very well, and I'm like, well, what's going on? She's like,
I'm from, no, I don't know, I crashed into a car, and just, I did not know what was happening.
Anyway, so I said to her, look, you know what happens. This guy, the one who went past and was flashing his lights because now I dared to turn in front of him when there was loads of room. He comes back in his bucky.
Oh.
And he pulls up next to me while I'm talking to her, trying to swap details. And, you know, the woman's in a state. She's just, she probably doesn't have insurance. Who knows? So he comes up. He's like, what are you doing? You turned.
You what?
You turned.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, I turn around and I look at this guy. I'm like, oh, I go, oh, you're the guy who was flashing your lights and hooting and carrying on when we were trying to turn. So he looks at me. He's like, yo, why did you turn? It was not you. I was coming straight. So I'm like, don't you have somewhere to be? You came back here to argue with me and to upset her even more. She just drove into the back of me, dude. Don't you have something more important to do than... He actually turned around.
So then,
and came back to reprimand us.
So in him turning around, he actually presented himself as an additional problem to other road users that time.
As soon as I said, don't you have somewhere to be, he was all embarrassed and then he just drove away. I mean, he didn't know what to say to that because he didn't have anything better to do, clearly. Otherwise, who has the time? I mean, who allows so much time between appointments, unless you're unemployed or you have nothing to do, that you can afford to spend an extra 10 minutes turning around and coming back to shit on someone for turning what you thought was too soon? So anyway, we sorted it out. She's okay. My car's not damaged. I'm not gonna... I don't even need to tell my insurance. It's like I've got a bit of a paint on my bumper.
Let me ask you a question. In a moment like that, a situation like that where it's high stress.
Yeah.
Having a woman crying in that moment
doesn't help.
Does it make the situation worse for you, or does it kind of just bring you down a notch?
Well, I'm not going to attack her anyway. I mean, these things happen. I've driven into the back of people. In fact, that's what I did in November last year, remember? So it happens to us, and I'm quite calm in these situations. So, and I felt bad for her. You know, I kind of touched her arm and said, hey, you know, it happens. Because she was in a state. She was like, oh, and she couldn't speak English. I don't know where the hell she's from. Probably Poland or something.
What do you drive my car into back of your car?
I don't know what she was talking about. It was like she was speaking in tongues. So I just said to her, look, you know, it happens. Here's my number. Here's your number. Let's swap. Her name is Margaret.
You've got to say it like that.
Yeah. Margaret.
Because it's not just Marge that we used to.
I don't know what she was up to. She's 20-something, probably a student. Hey, Gareth, I'm a guy. I met a guy last week who was in a similar situation. He got out of his car trying to swap details with a person who'd bumped into him. And as he got out, he got run over by another car going at 120 k's an hour. That's from Guillermo. You know, what is wrong with people?
Everyone's got somewhere to be that's so important.
I mean, drive over someone. That's bad. Obviously, you go to jail for that. You're murder, right? Jesus. Some dangerous stuff going on. You got to be careful on the road, man. You never know what could happen. Some stupid people out there. Just no control. You put them in charge of a heavy piece of machinery, they become super dangerous. People talk about guns. A gun, you still have to be able to point in the right direction. You have to be close enough to a person to be able to hit them. A car, you've got a huge, huge thing. Your target doesn't even have to be that big. And if you're going at 120 kilometers per hour, you do a lot more damage than a bullet. I'd rather be shot in the leg than be hit by a car in the leg.
Well, yeah, because that leg then ends up in a head injury. Your entire body gets messed up.
Your leg, if a bullet goes through your upper leg, you know, and it doesn't hit an artery, for example, you could repair that. You can get better.
Yeah, you can walk it off.
If a car smashes into your leg at speed, it'll tear your leg to pieces. And people are like, oh, I'm just going to hop in the car quickly and go to the shops. You don't know. Just be careful out there, for God's sake. It's early in the morning. People have lost their minds. All right, let's get into some news.
All right. Mubs,
what do you got for us?
Let's begin with the five things that you need to know this morning.
Good.
Everybody, welcome onto the ballot paper. BLF, yes. Black First, Land First have announced that they will be running in the 2019 South African national elections.
Where are they getting the money for that?
That is a good question, Ben, because I've been saying we all deserve to know who funds all these political parties. It would be nice to know who has made it possible for BLF to contest next year.
What the fuck are you saying?
I'm saying that BLF are going to be on the ballot paper
next year. This is great because they'll get four votes. Yeah. It'll be so humiliating.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Andile to actually get four votes. He won't even get...
exactly four. Is that what you're saying he's going to get?
Him, his mom...
Wow.
And his friend and the chick who always does the news stuff for them. She's always in the programs where he can't be there because there are only like two officials in the whole party. Yeah.
But what about all the other family members of the other people in the BFF?
They don't care. They're embarrassed.
I forgot to go to the polls.
They're embarrassed. I mean, you saw how many people pitched up outside that Peter Bruce's house. It was like five people. And they're protesting and like, oh, give back the land and all the stuff. Like, to what? You five?
And then, of course, yesterday, everybody was kind of breaking down President Cyril Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address and the EFF's Julius Malema warning Ramaphosa over land expropriation without compensation. Nice. Malema speaking during the joint sitting of both houses of parliament, basically he said that expropriation of land without compensation must be dealt with both seriously and speedily. Quote, this cannot be an issue to bluff about. This cannot be an issue to pass time with. It's an emotive issue, and you only mention it if you mean it. Of course,
we are fighting for the wealth.
Of course, Ramaphosa had revealed in his sonar on Friday that expropriation without compensation must be done in a way that increases food security and agricultural production. Malema says that no conditions should apply. So he got to have his say there yesterday.
Okay, so they're both wrong. Awesome.
Well, then they don't believe that they're wrong.
I feel sorry for the EFF and for the DA. Very sorry for them.
The DA?
Yeah, I feel sorry for both those parties because they've, especially the EFF, because they've lost their reason for existence. The only reason they exist is because Julius was chucked out of the ANC by Zuma's administration, right?
And the DA?
The DA, because all those people who were and maybe thought about voting DA because they didn't like Zuma are now back in the ANC's court. Like, why should I vote for the DA? Musi doesn't know what he's talking about half the time. He's grandstanding and carrying on. I'll go back to Cyril. So a whole lot of people who would have voted for the DA because they hated Jacob Zuma, now they're like, the ANC seems to be rehabilitating itself. I don't know whether they're right or not. Obviously, we don't know yet. It's too early to tell. But I guarantee you, they're not rushing to vote for Musi. I feel sorry for those two parties. It's kind of pathetic for them. Their best thing, their best asset was Jacob Zuma.
Well, speaking of Jacob Zuma, you were asking what's going to happen to him next. Well,
yes.
The former president will join the ANC, quote unquote, on the ground. This will be during the 2019 election campaigns. At least that's according to the ANC KwaZulu-Natal's Musa Dladla, who revealed this yesterday.
Do they want him?
Yeah, I was going to say,
KZN ANC probably do want him. You know, just thinking back to some of the things that Justice was saying yesterday. So they're going to try and find a way to keep him involved within the organization, even though he is no longer heading the organization.
So he's going to dance here and there. That's basically what they're going to do with him. Hey, I mean, he's not going to give a rousing speech or anything of worthwhile.
No, he won't give a speech, but I'm pretty sure, you know, he'll hold closed-door meetings, whisper certain things to some people. I mean, basically what he's been doing this whole time, just running.
He's very effective at that stuff.
Well, he is.
People like him. He's very personable.
His strength in life.
Yeah, they like him because he's like Father Christmas to these people. He sits down with like a bag of money from the Guptas, but he doesn't have a bag of money. So what's he going to do? Tell them jokes?
Well,
quirky life anecdotes?
I don't know what he's going to do, but, you know, they're saying that he's going to be involved in the election process on the ground.
All right.
So.
All right, let's see what happens.
Yeah. And then KFC are having a bit of a rough time in parts of the UK. They had to close hundreds of their British stores because of a shortage of chicken, of all things.
Oh, man.
The problem began over the weekend after the chain switched their delivery contract to DHL. And this forced the majority of its 900 outlets in Britain to shut down because they never got their chicken. KFC revealing on their website.
I've tried that in this country. You'll be in huge trouble.
We've brought a new delivery partner on board, but they've had a couple of teething problems getting fresh chicken out to the 900 stores across the country. And so they had to shut them down yesterday. Yeah, I don't think the chickens had much of a problem with that, if we have to be honest.
They bought them like an extra 2 or 3 days
yes,
of life.
Yes,
they're like,
shame,
yes,
man.
We've outlived the rest of those KFC chickens.
Yeah. It's tough being a chicken, I tell you.
All right.
So after 7, we'll get into exactly how it is that the Guptas are fighting back. We'll talk about how the president wants you to join him on his morning walks, if you're keen.
Oh.
And a whole bunch of other stuff, including Beyonce being involved in a lawsuit.
Wow.
Ooh. Plagiarism. No, no, wait. Her songs aren't that original.
Huh. All right, here's Ben with some sport. If you're wondering where Sia is this morning, by the way, he's on holiday. Sia's away for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, and he's taking a little holiday. I hope he relaxes. He's so high strung. Whatever he's doing, I hope he's very relaxed. All right, Ben, what do you got for us today?
Man City are out of the FA Cup.
Mm.
They took on Wigan Athletic, which is a Tier 3 side, which means that when you go play at their stadium, people are really like, you know, lower grade individuals shouting and screaming and sneezing. There's mud on the field. It's a rough day out. It got even rougher when Delf was given a red card in the first half. So Man City were down to 10 men, and then scuffles broke out. Pep Guardiola was having words, and as it always happens, it's like WWE. They all have this big gesturing contest where they have to be separated by the assistant coaches. But then afterwards, as in all these like lower tier teams, that when they finish the game, all these people run onto the field. And then obviously all the rich footballers get really, really panicky about this because they don't know how to deal with people of this class. And then, well, the hometown support love it, of course. But then Aguero was then hassled and he lashed out at a guy, and there's big controversy about them saying, well, he punched a guy. Look, it was more like a side-handed swipe. And the guy probably said something very common to him. So, I mean, you can't hold it against Aguero. He probably said something really horrible about his wife or his mother or his ethnicity or whatever.
Right.
That's what people do. They've been logged up since 3 that day, running out there and just saying dreadful things to these superstars because that's their one chance to kind of be on TV. So, Wigan, they go through. Good for them. It's very, very exciting, that is. And to go with the next draw, well, March 16 and 19, we'll see the next round. It'll be the quarterfinals. So Sheffield Wednesday and Swansea, they've got to have a replay first. The winner of that takes on Rochdale or Spurs. Otherwise, the teams are through the quarterfinal. You'll see Man United taking on Brighton. Leicester will be taking on Chelsea. And then Wigan will be taking on Southampton.
Hmm.
So that is your FA Cup. Big controversy yesterday in the Winter Olympics. There was a wardrobe malfunction.
What does that mean?
Well, it means, Gareth, that...
Titty or penis fell
just,
out.
Just a bit of... well, see, the thing about penises, they're very well contained, so you don't see that pop out too much. But a nipple, that happens. Gabriella Papadakis.
Sorry?
Nailed that. Cardi, I nailed that name. Did not mess it up
you
at
did.
All.
You did.
Gabriella Papadakis. She is a French figure skater, and while skating with her Canadian partner, her dress kind of came undone a little bit, and then she... Well... As the reports say, her breast was exposed.
Oh.
There was a bit of nipple.
Oh.
Breasts.
Just a little bit.
People get so... Her She exposed her breast, the outer edge of it all. No, there's a bit of nipple, but to Gabriella's credit, this happened early on in her routine, but like the professional that she is, she just kept going. And I know all you perverts out there are going to try Google her name right now and find a video, but you're not going to see much.
Oh, well, so, bless her.
And that was during Tuesday's free dance.
It wasn't her urat.
No, it wasn't her urat. So the Arab nation wasn't too outraged by this. But look, this kind of stuff happens. But what also happens, which I find just dreadful, is that people then go, well, why must they wear such revealing outfits? Why can't they just be more robustly built? Or why can't they just wear bodysuits?
Robustly built? What?
Shut up. These women want to wear whatever they want, okay? It's part of their routine. Dance is an expressive form of Winter Olympicing. And if she wants to wear an outfit like that, that there's a chance that her nipples might come out, well, so be it.
Yeah,
what's
exactly
going to happen? Is Pyeongchang going to explode because we saw a nipple?
No,
it's not. It's not. It'll still be on today. Pyeongchang is still intact, despite the fact we saw a nipple. In more controversy, it is going ahead. The anti-doping case is going ahead in the curling, which is hugely embarrassing, of course, because if you were Russian and you could prove you were clean, you could compete in Pyeongchang under the OAR, so the Olympic Athletes from Russia banner.
Right.
But now an Olympic athlete has proven, well, he's not clean, and it's plunged the sport of curling into disarray, and also just obviously showing these Russians can never be trusted. As I said yesterday, there was speculation about the fact that this person's drink got spiked by a really sort of bitter co-competitor. The B sample is still going to happen, but it's not looking very good for Alexandra Krushelnitsky. Also nailed that one. Got that one.
Yeah, you're good at these. You're getting better.
Getting better. Yeah. So that's it. And that was the mixed curling. So, I mean, you've got a feel for Anastasia Brizgalova.
Jesus, that one you messed up.
No, I actually got that
There's
one.
There's no way that's real.
Brizgalova. B-R-Y-Z-G-A-L-O-V-A. So Anastasia, she's fine, okay? So she's got the bronze medal fair and square. But if this guy's B sample comes back dodgy, that's it. Anastasia will lose her medal. Just like happened to Usain Bolt. One of his guys was dodgy in a relay, and he lost the gold medal.
This is so difficult.
It's heartbreaking.
Difficult to follow.
It's real life, this Winter Olympics. I've got to say, it's the blood, sweat, and tears of it all. It's just anything can happen. Today, you'll be able to enjoy curling. It's always curling on.
Mm-hmm.
All bloody day. There's bobsled at 10 to 2 South African time. It's the women's own that one. The biathlon's always very good fun. Then we've got lots of figure skating. Freestyle skiing. Love that. Ice hockey. Ice hockey's boring. The Nordic combined. That's always very good. And then loads and loads and loads of short track speed skating. This is one of my favorite events. It really is exciting. So that's what the Winter Olympics has in store for you today. Cricket-wise, well, India will be beating the Proteas again today. Where? Who cares?
Wait. India will be beating the Proteas. In other words, don't even bother watching, right?
It's just like watching a school bully, and it's like releasing your child into a school knowing he'll be wedgied, beaten, and lunch money stolen in an hour. Yeah. And you just got to sit there and watch it happen.
Wow.
But obviously, all eyes are going towards the bigger thing, which is the Australia series. So, talking about frying pan to the pot or whatever the saying is, but I mean, you've just been hammered by the Indians, and now you've got the Aussies coming here. Historically, the Aussies always do really well in South Africa. So it's a test series. There'll be four tests. So if you want to really look forward to some actual cricket, the 1st of March at Durban, it'll be the SA versus Australia first test. All these games will start at 10 a.m. South African time. On the 9th of March, it'll be in Port Elizabeth. So they're taking the Aussies to all the glamorous places first. And then 22nd of March in Cape Town, that'll be the third test, followed by the 30th of March at the Wanderers Stadium here in Johannesburg, where hopefully the pitch will be decent. Those are the four tests you've got to look forward to. But are the Proteas stars going to be available? We've showed there's absolutely bugger all depth in SA cricket right now, which isn't very good because Test cricket will find you out. Unless you are very good, you will be found out and you will be chewed up and thrown away. So, Faf du Plessis, he's got an index finger injury, but he should be fine for the first test. Abi de Villiers has a left knee injury, but he should be fine for the first test. Quinton de Kock has a left wrist injury. Also,
they all sound like they should be in hospital.
Well, yeah, left wrist, first test, he should be back. Timo Bavuma has a ring finger injury.
Oh my God.
Only expected back in the second test. And Dale Steyn, well, he's got a left heel injury. Huh. He might only play the third test.
So we
replace all of them with new ones.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Exactly.
That's
Thank
what
you,
you
my
say.
Buddy.
That's
right.
What you say. But you clearly didn't hear my comment of, we have bugger all depth. That's like saying, okay, but you can't make it in tomorrow. Let's just get another Mobali Malloy.
Yes.
There isn't one.
It's only one of you.
And then I've got to try to do the news, and I suck at that. So that's where the Proteas are right now. Basically, me doing news is where the Proteas are. So who are you going to replace these guys with? Who are you going to call? No one. No one. You go through that one-day series, the limited overs test series right now. Who's really going to step up? Is Bardeen going to play test cricket? Of course not. It's not in a good state right now. But, you know, you've got to be positive for the boys. You've got to be positive for the boys. And I will leave you with that.
All right. Thanks for that, Ben. I don't believe a word you said there.
You're welcome.
The end. All right. Here's some cryptocurrency updates for those people who like to look at these things. Bitcoin is currently trading at... Oh. Wow. It's looking healthy. 11,464, right?
Wow. It was south of 9 not so long ago.
Bitcoin's going up nicely. It's back to the levels that we were used to before that big slump. Ethereum trading at $945.50. That's in dollars. Ripple's 1.105 if you're interested. The one that's climbed enormously is Ethereum Classic, currently trading at $41.54.
When did that be a thing?
It became a thing. It's a thing. Bitcoin Cash is at 152.
This cryptocurrency, like women, 1526. It's like women in their hairstyles out of nowhere. It's just a new one.
And if you care about Monero, 316.4. Look, there's so many. There's Neo, there's this, there's that, there's the other. Yeah, I can't keep up with all of these. But they're all seemingly starting to go up, slightly ticking to the levels that we were used to before. But Run will be in next week to give us more info about what he thinks is going on in the world of cryptocurrency. So for those of you who've lost interest and fell out of love with crypto because you weren't tripling and doubling and quadrupling and multiplying by 10 your money every week, we can get you back on track. Hey, every Friday, the Cliff Central Studios are... it's mad here. You've got Dave Levinson and company, you've got Jonty with the sex show, then you've got Casper, then you've got O'Neill, then you've got Arier. It's just madness. So, this week we're going outdoors. We're taking this animal farm outdoors, and we're going to the Lifestyle Home Garden Center this Friday. I've been there once before. I didn't realize this place is so enormous and there was so much going on. So you can catch the Just Now Comedy Podcast, Sex Talk, Casper Radio Show, the O'Neill Africa Experience, and Millennial Gen, plus some special broadcasts from me and Aria Kelman. It's at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center. Has all kinds of exquisite plants, garden, and home decor, as well as accessories, hardware, and tools. They have a team of passionate experts, creatives, and enthusiasts to create the kind of environment where you can come to feed your soul. Plus, because it's a Friday and it's summer, it's the perfect place to be. Make sure you visit Cliff Central. Come and say hello to us at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center on the corner of Bayes Nordia Drive and Aysterote Avenue in Rand Park Ridge this Friday. Don't miss it, all right?
Okay.
Very nice. We don't have Said by Sia this morning because Sia's not here. He's busy replenishing his own soul and body and mind and possibly also toxifying it in places like Hong Kong and Bali. I've never been to Hong Kong or Bali.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
He can tell us all about it when he gets back.
I hope so. V says, BLFingF. What a bunch of dickheads. Who in their right mind would be so stupid as to sponsor these imbeciles to be in the next elections? I smell some serious Zupta money here. I have no idea what their mandate is other than being racist and a pest to society. V. All right. Someone says, talking about crypto, I compare our national political parties to cryptocurrency. ANC is like Bitcoin, DA is Ethereum, EFF is Litecoin. Bitcoin took a bad slump after December, so did the ANC. DA and EFF gained some momentum during that period. Now Zuma resigns, Bitcoin is up 20% since then. Ethereum and Litecoin are starting to lose momentum.
All right. Analogy works.
Very interesting stuff that people have got on their minds this morning. All right. Coming up, we'll get into some news. We've got Michael Otten of One Plan popping by a little bit later on, and we'll take your thoughts and your calls. You know what to do. WhatsApp us at 0797482090, or if you want to call us, 0861-555-189. I mean, we don't keep the phone line here for our health, so you know what to do. Give us a shout. Tell us what you think. And if you're harbouring Duduzane Zuma, Jane wants to collect that reward, so watch out. Cold, 'cause she has been here
before. She doesn't cry anymore. This is CliffCentral.com.